And I don't believe in time. Time, I don't understand. Children killing in the street.
Well, I do fear the time is running out. Have you been leaving the tire swap to winter tires, or even putting up Christmas lights and having not taken advantage of that yet over this somewhat milder weather we've had in and out of the last few weeks? It's looking like it's really going to change now over gradually to what we all dread, as some snow is in the forecast. Not a lot, but enough to make the rooftops a little white perhaps by tomorrow. How long it'll last, I'm not entirely sure, but it's definitely going to be a little cooler this weekend. Game day weather for Saturday's West Final now, as I've been keeping tabs on that all week. It looks as if the high is forecast to be minus 4 in the sunshine on Saturday. However, kickoff is at 5:30, so by that fourth quarter, it could be dipping anywhere between minus 10 to minus 12. So less than 1,000 seats left to sell. It's closing in on a sellout. But everyone will have to be dressing warmly and taking some blankets, and sure hope it's going to be loud. We packed that place as expected. It should be a good, fun game against the BC Lions. Remembrance Day isn't until next Tuesday, and I'm hearing a lot of conversations of people taking Monday off to make it an extra long weekend, too. And I always feel the Christmas barrage comes earlier and earlier. It starts so much earlier now.
It's the season for giving your paycheck away.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Christmas decorations have been in stores for weeks already, and now every evening, if you're watching television, you can't help but notice one or two Christmas-themed commercials. Flyers in the mailbox are pushing Christmas. The kids are flipping through many toy catalogs that have come already now. And today, Starbucks launches their holiday cups. And apparently many are obsessed already with something called the Barista Cup that costs something like $30. It's a plastic bear with a straw on top that's so cute and Christmassy. But it's only available while supplies last. And Starbucks releasing it today. eBay ads, I don't know how quickly these come together, if it's just released today, but already some of these baristas are selling for $300 because they're collector's item and will disappear quickly. Google says Christmas music searches are way up already. And another big search is Oprah's annual favorite things list. You know, Oprah, back in the day when she was so popular on television, started this, and it has never gone away. Every year she comes out with a list of Christmas gift ideas that are normally way out of our means financially. And sure enough, she's got a $2,000 espresso machine that she's really hawking on her Christmas list this year. And this is absurd. On the list, okay, I could afford this, but I don't think I need it. A $60 pair of anti-fog reading glasses for the shower. Why does one need reading glasses in the shower? I don't know. Maybe read the shampoo instructions? Because the writing's so tiny, it can't be the reason, right? We know how to do that. But when I look at the ad, I had to look. What does it say about these $60 anti-fog reading glasses? It describes it like this. Shower, shave, read, and relax in steamy spots with convenience and clarity. I guess whatever floats your toy boat in the tub, I guess. But $60 for those. Anyhow, I can't think of Christmas yet. I got to get past Remembrance Day. And I like how downtown Regina, too, they're not taking on the Christmas atmosphere yet. They're waiting as well. They'll come after Grey Cup weekend. Right now, I see I got a note here that the city is going to light up downtown Victoria Park and do the usual out front of City Hall a few weeks from now.
If you don't glow, hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the
A lot of all-stars on our Saskatchewan Roughriders. Busy preparing for the West Final Saturday against the Lions. Kickoff at 5:30. Hey, some good news on the injury front from the Riders. Keyshawn Johnson had his helmet on and participated in a few individual drills, Britton Gray told me yesterday. But still waiting to hear from the coach to confirm he's back for sure. He says he's feeling good, but coach has the last word.
I feel good. So, you know, from there, you know what I mean? Everything we'll put in the air, but I feel good.
Roland Milligan was out there. Apparently he is ready to go. And yeah, last time the Lions and the Riders met in postseason play was the semifinal last year. And if you recall, we beat him 28-19 at Mosaic, only to go on to lose to Winnipeg in the West Final. Head coach Corey Mace says, kind of feels a little different. Something's different in the air this year compared to last year for his club.
Just off of the guys that were here last year, I think just experience alone. Understanding what to anticipate, you know, dealing with, the likes of you guys and media, all that stuff. The feel in the air is a little bit different. And I heard Trev talk about that. You know, the moment of the game, the big games, those guys understand that now. So, and we did it somewhere else. So to have it at home, you know, I think the guys are ready for that.
I'm getting more pumped up for this game. Looking forward to it. The Lions are rolling, though, right now, including their walk-off win against Calgary last weekend in the semifinal. And BC has won 7 straight now and are the league's hottest team. Even though the Riders are the favorites this weekend, I do think our defense will have Rourke running for his life on Saturday. I feel a few sacks coming on. And a lot of CFL analysts are pointing to what might become a kicking battle this weekend. They give the edge to BC's Sean White, who nailed 95.1% of his field goal tries during the regular season. And he had that walk-off game winner last week, as I mentioned, against the Stamps. Now, it's not confirmed, but I would be surprised and shocked if it wasn't Brett Lothar kicking Saturday for us. He's been taking kicks this week during practice. And he's had a bit of an iffy season. He's gone 39 of 54 field goal attempts. 72.2% conversion rate this season. Again, Sean White, a little better at 95.1. So, I think Brett's gotten better the last few games, hitting 8 of his last 9 attempts. He did miss that week 21 with a back injury, too. But, many will be keeping an eye on the kicking game this weekend. And look, let's face it, last weekend, those semifinals came down to a field goal. Hey, later, besides the fact our Premier Scott Moe is going to review the federal budget on the Evan Bray Show at 8:30, Moe is also going to be joining the Saskatchewan Rough Riders for an announcement over at the Ledge this morning at 9 a.m. Speaking of the Ledge, they had a bit of a Remembrance Day service yesterday, and many of them took time to stand with their poppies over their hearts, reflecting on how lucky we are. It was a mini Remembrance Day service led by Colonel Jason Quillam. The province's chief of protocol says this is a big anniversary year.
Now, this year marks a significant milestone, the 80th anniversary of the end of the Second World War. In May of 1945, the guns fell silent in Europe with a surrender signed in Berlin. And on September 2nd of that same year, aboard a ship anchored off Tokyo Bay, the war in Asia and the Second World War itself came to a formal close.
Premier Moe added how we're fortunate here not to have war at our doorstep.
To all service members here today, their families, and their friends, I say thank you for the sacrifices that you have made on behalf of all of us. Over 11,000 brave Saskatchewan souls have made the ultimate sacrifice to defend our freedoms. This includes numerous public servants who answered their call to serve our country. They were our friends, they were our family members, they are neighbors and colleagues. And it's important to remember and honor them, not just today, but every day.
And you can do that by wearing a poppy, which are available at just about every gas station, many stores, and of course they'll be out in front of some big box stores on the weekend selling poppies too for donations. This time of the year, whenever it comes to talking about, oh, maybe I'm going to get winter tires, you always just keep putting it off and off, right? And then that first snowfall hits and you think, oh, I got to get to the garage. And then you realize just about everyone else is there at the same time, too. But this is the time right now because another snowfall is on the horizon. Like, we're not talking a ton of snow, but there's going to be some white stuff over the next 24, 48 hours. And Talking to my buddy from Cal Tire, Lori Washira. He says the phone's been ringing already, Steady. Good morning, Larry. Lori, welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's good to be back, Greg. Thanks for the call.
You bet. Take us through all our winter tire options, will you, please?
Well, depending on the type of driving and talking to somebody in the business that can give you some good advice, factory studded winter tire is probably the best option. But there is so many choices to choose from and so many brands, and they're all really good options. So a winter tire is definitely going to outperform your traditional all-season tire from anywhere from 15 to 30% better braking and traction in the wintertime. So it's a significant difference. Definitely well worth the investment.
If you don't want to swap out every year, what then kind of tire are you looking at?
We have a great option. It's called an all-weather tire, which is actually a winter-rated tire that has the durability to be left on year-round. So you treat it just like an all-season, but you get that benefit of the increased traction, increased braking capacity. So you get a much safer tire that you leave on year-round, and you don't have to think about it. You just drive.
Well, you're from Saskatchewan, Lori. Are studded winter tires still recommended for our province?
Well, the benefit of studded winter tires is they really outperform the others, especially when it comes to black ice. And when you get that kind of that right around that zero temperature, kind of what we've been experiencing as you start to get into winter, where in the morning you get up, you go to work, and the roads are really slippery, greasy, a little bit like a curling sheet. Those studded tires really have an impact on that. So those really do work well.
Lori Washira from Cal Tire, my guest. How much does tire tread depth actually matter for winter driving? And when should a tire be replaced then?
We recommend anything less than 3/32 seconds certainly should be replaced immediately. But what you do is you can take a look at the tire, and depending upon the brand of tire, some tires, the actual winter compound that's on the tire runs right through the tread depth. Others only use that winter compound for part of the tread. So depending upon which brand you select, that pull point becomes a little bit different for when you should remove them. But once again, stop by any of our stores. We can take a look at it for you, and we can give you advice whether it's good to go for another year or it's time to change.
How important is it, Lori, to pay attention to that tire pressure light that comes on?
The benefit to the consumer is without checking your tires, which is what most people do, they don't check their air pressure on their tires, it will register if there's a difference in the pressure or if one has dropped below what it requires. So that means something's not right and somebody should take a look at it. So it's a great warning system for people to make sure that they check their tire pressure or have a professional check it for them.
Do more expensive winter tires actually perform better than, say, the mid-range options?
Yeah, actually, the premium brands certainly do outperform the entry-level brands. Just like anything else that you buy, when you buy something that's of a name brand recognition, typically you're buying a superior product and definitely has a better longer life and a better braking capacity.
What about rural highways and gravel roads in Saskatchewan winters?
Well, the challenge there is gravel is like sandpaper to a tire, and you want to try to get something that's going to hold up a little bit longer rather than just wear off in a short period of time. So you have to be careful and a little bit more selective when it comes to the rural driver. You want to make sure you get a compound that is soft yet firm enough to hold up to the gravel.
Okay, Lori. So if one leaves their winter tires on all year, will they quietly be judged by others or just wear it out faster?
They will just wear it out faster, and the odd person that recognizes that will go, what are they doing? For your safety, it's very bad. We want to make sure that we balance those tires out so you got equal traction on all four corners of the vehicle to make sure you're truly safe on the road.
Are tires more expensive than they were last winter?
At this point this year, our tire pricing has remained pretty much the same as last year. There's been some industry increases as far as for cost of materials, but the tariff situation has not hit us the same way just because of the way we buy our inventory. We actually bought our winter tire inventory long before the tariffs and this whole tariff situation with our neighbor to the south was in place. So our pricing is very good, very aggressive this year.
Good to know. Getting ahead of the game there. Your suggestion about when to swap out the tires, is it right now or do we even wait for a little colder temperature yet?
It's right now. The golden rule is 7. And the average between the daytime high and the nighttime low is 7 degrees or lower. It's time to put your winter tires on.
Hey, thanks for all the tips. I appreciate it.
Anytime, Greg. I'm glad I was able to help you out this morning.
Premier Scott Moe is coming up on the Evan Bray Show to break down how he saw the federal budget. That'll be at after the 8:30 news this morning. And later this morning, over the ledge, the Premier with Gaynor and a few of the other Saskatchewan Rough Riders are going to be making some sort of announcement. I'm sure it'll be a fun one in time for the West Final. It has been crazy busy for high school extracurricular activities lately. Football finals last week. Provincial football championship this week, and volleyball wrapping up. Last night's volleyball city championships, Blue Division. The junior girls saw Riffle beat Campbell in a junior boys action. Campbell defeated Miller. So that was the junior action last night, and there's more tonight. And here to tell you all about it, my Regina High School Athletic Director, Dwayne L. Dwayne, what's on tap tonight?
Tonight we've got senior volleyball in the blue division. We have Winston Old girls playing Campbell girls at Luther High School. That starts at 6 p.m. And then the boys are the Leboldus Golden Suns and the Miller Marauders at 8 p.m. And that's also at Luther High School.
Oh, I got to ask you, who's favorite? Let's start with the girls.
So I think it's going to be really close. Campbell's the defending champions, and Winston Knoll ended up in first. So I think that'll be a really close game. And then we have Leboldus and Miller, which is two teams to the championship this year. And I believe, again, Miller finished first and Leboldus second. But all the games have been really close, so anything can happen tonight.
All right. Volleyball taken care of. Let's move to football. What's going down in the next few days here?
Well, we have the provincial final, two provincial finals, one in Saskatoon. The original date was Saturday, but the SHSA has moved the game now to Friday at SM Field for 6:15. And we have the Miller Marauders versus the Holy Cross Crusaders. And then we go to Saturday where the FW Johnson Wildcats go and play the Moose Jaw Central Cyclones at Guthridge Field at Moose Jaw at 1 p.m.
Okay, and the provincial champion will be announced.
The provincial championships will be announced, and I did a little research on it. 2010, the last time Regina has swept 6A, 5A, so that's what we hope can happen again this year.
What's next after we get wrapped up with football?
Well, curling's already started practice starting Monday. Hockey has started practice on Monday also. This wrestling will start mid-December, and then yesterday I sent out basketball scheduling information, so those are our four big sports getting ready to go. Everything's kind of just right on the tip of starting.
So students either know already or should be listening for announcements.
Oh, definitely listening to announcements. But like I said, the curling and the hockey's already been done. The basketball will be starting. Basically, it starts right after football does, so there is no overlap in sports. So once that's kind of done, they get ready to do the practicing, and away they go.
Dwayne, thanks for the update.
Hey, not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Dwayne L., Regina High School Athletics Director. I want to go to the NHL last night where history was made.
Number 900, Alex Ovechkin, first player in National Hockey League history to reach that magic number.
Yes, Alexander Ovechkin of the Capitals got his 900th goal, the only player to ever reach a milestone like that. And as his teammates flooded the ice to celebrate the milestone, St. Louis Blues goaltender Jordan Binnington was busy trying to stuff the 900th goal puck down his pants. But of course, they caught it on tape.
He fella, isn't he? And he does some things. Watch this. After the goal is scored, he's got the puck. Watch what he does with the puck. He's going to keep it in his pants. I don't know if he wants to sell it on the open market or not, but they're not going to get that puck from Binnington, but that is until linesman Michel Cormier came over and said, hey, we know you got that puck, buddy.
There's cameras everywhere, guys. His eBay account would have been popping off after this game had he pulled that heist off.
Yeah, I couldn't believe when I watched it again this morning. Like, he literally goes out of his way to skate away from the refs, thinking he's sticking this puck in his in the pants of his, you know, that he's wearing. And I'm thinking, isn't he worried it might fall out later in the game anyhow? But then, of course, the ref sees this and takes it from him. I can't see a face up close of his face if he's laughing as he does this or not. But they asked Ovechkin after the game if he was aware of it.
See Binnington trying to...
Yeah, I just saw it. I'm not going to comment into it.
But he got the puck back. Blues would beat the Caps, though, 6-1.